Matter of fact, internationally speaking, this is the called International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. And I think it's one of those areas that isn't talked about much. And it's something that's going on while we sleep at night, when we're going to school, whatever we're doing, our normal patterns of life. Just put it up further in if you would. These things are going on. I don't know if you saw the statistics, but it's pretty amazing. If you trust statistics, I'm sure they can't be totally accurate because we don't hear about a lot of things that go on. But today we stand together with the persecuted church. And the reason we're putting some microphones out here is because pretty soon we're going to be praying as a church for our brothers and sisters around the world that are dying, being mutilated, being tortured. You can imagine all the things that people are going through simply because they believe in Jesus Christ. You don't hear about it a lot, but it's going on. The media doesn't cover it much, but it's still happening. Just like when you go to buy a hamburger, you know, you look, oh, this hamburger looks, it's going to be great, make a great hamburger, but you wouldn't go kill the cow. You wouldn't want to look at it, you know? If you did that, you probably quit eating hamburger. It's the same way with this. This is going on, and we can choose to not acknowledge it, or we can intercede and we can pray for people that are in prison, beaten, robbed, houses taken from them, privileges denied that other people have simply because of Jesus Christ. You know, you hear a lot the buzzwords, social justice and everything. And that's true. We need to be involved in social justice. But most of the time people think of social justice, they think of feeding the poor, clothing the people that need clothing, things like that. But what about the Christians that are around this world that don't have the privileges we have? Literally dying for the rights that we have, but being denied simply because of the name Jesus. It's funny when Rivellino was saying, you know, when I heard the name Jesus, he said, I just had this feeling that came over him. There's something about that name Jesus when you speak it. You can say God, you can get away with saying things like that, you know, the big guy upstairs, you know, whatever kind of phrases we want to come up with. But the minute you say Jesus, that's serious business. And things begin to shift in the heavenly realms. So today we stand together with the persecuted church, one with them in the body of Jesus Christ. Because we all make up parts of that body. We're like little cells in the body, but we're all important. The Bible says when any one part of the body suffers, we all suffer together. We should. You know, I personally don't think I feel the pain enough that these people feel. You know, it's one thing just to talk about it. Everything seems so one-dimensional, like you're looking at a picture, you're looking at a video. But if you were there in real life, counting those dead bodies stacked up, that had been macheted to death, hacked with giant machete blades, how would you feel? How would you respond, you know? It's more than a newspaper article, it's real life. But we can set miracles into motion. We can deliver divine protection for these people. We saw the Iranian pastor. You know, I don't claim to know everything about his situation, but what little I've found out this week is that the Iranian government is taking listen because there's so much protest going on around the world. Petitions are being signed. It's becoming more of a public issue. And now they're like, we don't want that kind of PR going on, you know? So keep praying for him because all of it makes a difference. It sets things into motion and it all begins with our prayers. Prayers can change this world. Prayers move the hand of God and the hand of God can change anything. Those of you that were at our soak, by the way, we'll do that probably at least once a month. That seems right. Soak, being saturated in the presence of God with worship and our prayers. We did that Friday night at the church office. Had I don't know, what do you think, 25, 30 people? I mean, it was great turnout. I didn't know what to expect. I thought, well, 10. I mean, you don't know. You know, we had candles going and stuff, so it was cozy, gezellig, right, for you Nederlanders. Canoes, you know, it was all that. And worship and just people, just the body of Christ praying and praying out loud, not afraid to be known as Christ's children. And I really believe we'll see things happen when we start to pray. When the church begins to pray, look out. Things begin to change. Impossible things become possibilities. Negative things become positive. Sadness becomes joy. God can supply all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Many of our brothers and sisters around the world, they're dying for their faith, but they've decided, you know, and this is the admirable thing. Most of these people have very little. I mean, if you've been some places, like I've been in Cambodia and places like that where the pigs live under the house, you know what I mean? And and you see these people, they have not much. Some have literally nothing. And they'd be willing to sell everything they had just to provide you that one meal as a guest. That's the kind of people they are. But these are the same people that when a gun is put to their head and forced to either be turned back to Islam or denounce Christ because of oppressive government regimes, whatever, these are the same people who say, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. And yeah, 70% of the world's population lives in areas of severe religious persecution. 70%. You know, how many Christians are persecuted for their faith every year? 200 million, it says. And at least 60 countries are denied fundamental human rights solely because of their faith, denied medical attention, denied employment. I remember we were on one mission trip. Where was it? I don't know if it was Cambodia, maybe. And I remember a lot of women were coming to our meetings. And we said, where are the men? You know, I mean, it's okay for a guy to love the Lord. What happened to these guys? And we found out from the people, because of their culture, that if the men work, I mean, if the men want to work, and they come to Christ, then their jobs will be taken away from them. And so the women were more free to come, and the men stayed outside because they didn't want to be known as Christian because it would punish them and their families. Denied human rights, simple necessities of life, simply because of their faith in Christ. Some sources claim that in the last 100 years, more believers in Christ have been killed, martyred for their faith than all the other 1900 years before it at the time of Christ. And you may think, well, that was back when they fed them to the lions and stuff. It had to be worse. No, much worse. The one statistic, what, 45 million people in the last century? You know, we often think of the apostles and being martyrs, you know, how they died for their faith. Some were crucified, some were sawn in two. That would be fun, huh? Some were boiled alive, beheaded. Today there are people being tortured, mutilated, raped, beaten, burned, brutally murdered simply because of Jesus. And in many countries it's illegal for them to even meet or to even talk publicly or to one another if it's found out about Jesus Christ, about their faith. They're denied everything. And I think as believers in the West, we take our liberty for granted, don't we? These people, I remember being in Argentina and at a crusade, you know, whatever that means to your mind. And I remember getting off the plane and they were taking us on one of their multicolored buses. They're really cool. Stuff hanging off the windshield everywhere. And they said, well, first, before we take you to the hotel, we're going to go to this crusade, this tent meeting. And we're like, oh, man, Oh man, it's going to be like 20 really old women sitting in wooden chairs in a tent with bugs flying around. And we were really tired, you know, so we were being real spiritual, right? And I remember getting there, and they pulled up, and we were all saying, okay, why are we stopping? They said, well, you're here. And I said, all those people out there. And they said, yeah, about 10,000. And they said, some of them start walking, like, at dinner time to get there late enough in the evening to be there, and they stay till 5 in the morning on their feet, and then walk back again and do it again the next day, every night. And we have so much liberty, and honestly, if we were to take a roll in church every Sunday, which we're not, we had a thing. It's funny how we used to mask it at the church I was in Missouri before moving here long ago. We had a thing called the Friendship Register. Doesn't that sound nice? The Friendship Register. And it was a little black book that would pass down everyone, and you would sign your name in it. And if you're a normal person coming all the time, you just kind of check next to your name, you know, kind of thing. And that's the way they would find out who was coming and how many people came and how often they came. And we're not going to do that here. But I think so often we're like, we get up, well, I don't think I'm going to church today, you know. My fingernail bothers me. I may have to go to the bathroom later, and I really don't like to go to the stay okay. You know, I'm being real. It's how some of you think. And, you know, or, oh, I don't have anything I really want to wear. You know, I mean, we come up with stuff, right? And I think these people have nothing, and they walk for 5 hours to get there by foot, stand for 5 hours, and walk home again. I'm like, wow. And I felt ashamed. And we were the ones that didn't even want to stop. We wanted to get to our hotel room where we could sleep in our nice bed, you know? And we take our liberties for granted, and the same liberty they're dying for all over the world. And we don't take advantage of the liberty. And I pray that we have a repentant spirit for our complacency. You know what I mean by complacency? For our just, you know, it's okay, we can do that anytime attitude. I pray we have a repentant spirit for that. And recognize the favor we live in and use it to the fullest God's given us. If nothing else, we can intercede for those that have nothing around this world, that are dying in our place, really, in our place. And I pray also that our hearts would be grieved and broken in intercession for those people. I want to have more brokenness for people like that, because I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, for not putting me in Cambodia or Vietnam or North Korea, of all places, the number one most persecuted place on the face of the earth if you're a Christian, North Korea. Prisons are full of Christians in North Korea. People that try to get away and get to China are killed. But yet there are people there in North Korea, they'll actually cross the river to get into China so they can get training, so they can go back and evangelize more North Koreans. And they'll say, I don't want to die, but I'll deal with that when it comes. I mean, how many of us could say that? That goes on every day, and we just don't see it. We don't know about it. 1 Corinthians tells us in 12:24, it says that when one part of the body suffers, the rest of the body suffers. You guys got it back there, 1 Corinthians 12? I'm going to start reading it. It says, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. You know, our bodies are, I mean, you look at the ears, you look at the nose, you know, and if you're a woman, you spend a lot of time probably putting on a lot of stuff, right? And there's some stuff. Some of you are like, I stay away from that stuff. But some of you are into it, you know. Somebody said, no, I'm beautiful enough by myself. But some of you spend a lot of time getting fixed up. But there are some parts of our body we really don't want people to see. I mean, most women don't want to say, hey, you want to look at my armpit? Most people don't, you don't go around, look at my big toe. Isn't that gnarly? I mean, isn't it great? Look at that. You want to smell it? You don't say things like that, you know? But those are part of your body, and they're all important. So the things that we see, it says here, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given a greater honor to the parts that lacked it. That's like your armpit and your big toe. So that there should be no division in the body and that its parts should have no equal concern. I'm sorry, should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. It says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So, when our brothers and sisters around this world are being persecuted, we should feel the pain. I remember once I hit my thumb with the back of a hammer, the claw part. I was breaking bricks, and I had a really old house, and since I couldn't afford someone to fix it, I had to learn. So I'm down in the fireplace shaft, which is really strange, but I got down through the upstairs bathroom, a hole in the floor. I kind of did one of these things, and I put some wood underneath where I kind of would step on it and hope it would hold me. And it's this, the ceilings are this tall, so it's a ways down if you miss. And so I get down in there, kind of this makeshift ladder, and I'm breaking bricks. I'm fixing the fireplace because I didn't want the house to burn down, but I wanted to burn a fire, right? Kind of nice. And so I'm in this place. I'm breaking bricks with the claw of the hammer, and I'm holding it. But when I came back with it, my arm hit something else. And so when I came forward, it threw me off, and I ran it into my hand. Oh. I mean, you know, that burn, that feeling of burn when something really hurts, like when you stub your big toe. And I'm just like, this is not going to be good, you know, because I hit it right on top of here with the claws. And I remember how my whole body ached, and I think I still have to get out of here. And look at this little hole with daylight, and it's just me and the bricks and nowhere to go. And I had to climb back out, you know. Then I had to drill a hole in it, and blood went. It was kind of a mess. Had to throw that in for some of you ladies. Sorry. We had a men's breakfast yesterday, and Bruce, Sam Bruce, Sam the Bruce, there he is, over there, cooked us a full English breakfast, complete with black pudding, kind of, which is blood sausage. And you ladies, you would have loved it, I'm sure. So it's a guy thing, I think. I don't know why we did it, but we did it anyways. But my whole body ached. And it's the way we should feel when we see our brothers and sisters. Some of these pictures, and by the way, if you have anyone here that's still young that didn't go in the kids, you might, there's one picture that's going to maybe be disturbing. So that we're going to show here, just so you're aware of what's going on. It's up to you. But when one part of the body hurts, the rest of the body aches with it. And we need to have that same pain and feel that same pain for our brothers and sisters around the world. Man, I remember when I had kidneys. Anyone here ever kidney stones? Anyone? Who else? Who else joined the club? Kidney stones. You did? Okay, you're too young for kidney stones. Wow, what'd you do? It's too much coffee or something. You're Dutch, that's it. Too much coffee. But I remember, you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, I was like, yeah, bring on the kids stuff. And it was like, man, when that thing hits, you become a puddle of nothing. I remember laying on the floor in my underwear. This is quite a sight now. I remember on the steps, because it's a big house, and it was a Victorian home that had like 9 rooms, so it was a big, big old home. And I got it really cheap, so I'm not rich, okay? And the stairs, I remember laying on the stairs, and I was in so much pain, couldn't do anything about it, this deep throbbing pain. All I could do was hang on to the balusters on the, you know, like the handrail, you got the posts that come up, and bang my head against the wall. That's how much pain. I mean, I don't want to go through that again. I've had this twice, and I don't want the third one, let me tell you. But we should feel the pain of our brothers and sisters. Jesus was really clear, you know, when he said, that we, if we would really be followers, if we would really be no turning back kind of people, you know, and live according to his word, that we would not be accepted by this world. I hate to tell you, and you, as most of you know, but if you represent Christ in any capacity in your life, whether it be at school, on the job, sometimes in your family, out on the street, when Carnival comes and they're having the parade, go up to some people that are half drunk, start telling them about Jesus, and see how many of them are going to listen. You will be hated for who you love, for who you believe. You will be persecuted. The Bible says we're aliens and strangers. There's no longer, this place is no longer our home. John 15:20 says this, "Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master." This is Jesus talking. And he said, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." He said, "Look at me, what I go through. You think they're not going to want to do the same?" So the liar of this age, the devil, he's created a lot of hatred. He stirs up a lot of crud against Christians. You know why, don't you? Because he's a sore loser. And he can't get to God. That's the reason he was Lucifer in heaven. Supposed to be the most beautiful angel of all. The Bible says in one place that his body was made of instruments. He was like the worship leader of heaven. But then he decided he wanted God's position. He wanted to be God. So God cast him out of heaven and threw him down to earth until it was time for his judgment. And then he would be chained in hell. And a third of the angels went with him because he convinced them. And he became the prince of the power of the air. And now his attack, since he can't win against God, who does he make war against? God's children, the seed of God. That's us, created in his image to know him. Here's what it says in Revelation. I read this here a couple weeks ago. Oh, it's one of my favorite verses, so you get to hear it again. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he'd been hurled to earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. And the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for a time, times and a half time, out of the serpent's reach, the devil. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torment. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ." That's who he went off to make war against. Is it any wonder then that people will hate us for Christ? These things are happening. Philippians 1:27 through 31 says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him."
God, I pray for Laos. I pray for the 11 families who are expelled for their village, and for especially for the young children. Give protection and provision so that they can go on and that they felt you as their father, who is give blessing and give help and strength in their time who is difficult. Help them. help the other Christians to go on and have courage to remain in the faith. Help that the religious freedom will come in this country, and that it will be a benefit for the believers in rural areas. Help them in all this bad situation. Hold them strong that they can go on with you. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Father, we worship you. We give you praise. There's power in the name of Jesus. Father, the same power that freed Paul and Silas from prison, we use Pastor Yusuf, that has been sentenced to death in Iran, as a point of contact, Lord, for the whole Arab world, where Christians have been persecuted. Father, your words are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And at the mention of the name of Jesus, knees will bow, tongues will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, your word says the hearts of the kings are in the hands of the Lord. Father, those who have taken that decision for Yusuf to be executed, Father, that same risen power in the name of Jesus, let it go back and touch the hearts of those in charge, Father, that they will free him, Lord. There will be a testimony that you will heal him emotionally in the name of Jesus, himself and the family. Father, that from there on, they will know there is a power above all powers. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Father, you are so holy this morning, my God. Lord, I want to worship you. I want to thank you for who you are. Father, this morning I come before your throne, my God, with Afghanistan, my God, with our brothers and sisters from there, my God. Lord, I stand upon your word that whatever we ask in your name will be given unto us, my God. Father, I ask for the strength to the believers there, my God, for the wisdom for the young Christians, my God, to know how they can stand in faith, that you will build them up in their faith, my King. Father, physically and spiritually, my God. Father, that they may know you, that they may know your power, your faithfulness, my God. Father, because whatever you started, you will finish, my King. And Father, when they worship, that your Holy Spirit will pour out, my God, because where your Spirit is, there is freedom, there is liberty, my God. Father, I pray, my God, for everything that they need, my God. And Lord, I pray that you will let us be people that will stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters, my God, that we may intercede for them, my God, that we may have the burden on our heart to pray for them, my God, because when one part of the body hurts, Father, we will all feel it, my God. Father, we are one in you, my God. We are the body of Christ, my God. Lord, you are holy, you are holy, my God. Father, forgive us, my God, for when we are too. Father, we take this belief for granted, my God. We take for granted what you are doing in our life, my God. Father, because you are a good God and we have the privilege, my God, to worship you freely, my God. Father, forgive us when we are taking this for granted, my God. Father, you are holy this morning, my God. Holy Spirit, have your way. Father, you know every situation in this world, my God. Father, you know every situation. You know every brokenness, my God. Father, you know, my God, whoever is on their knees, my God. Father, that they need you, my God. Father, this world needs you, my God. And Father, you promised us, my God, if you are for us, no one can be against us, Jesus. Father, because you are a good God, because you are a holy God this morning. Father, I worship you, my God. Holy Spirit, have your way, my God. And Father, no weapon formed against your body shall prosper, my God. Father, no weapon formed against your body shall prosper, my King. Father, we belong to you, my God. We are bought and paid by your blood, my God. You did it on the cross, my King. Oh, Jesus, thank you, my God. Father, thank you for your cross, my King. Father,
thank you,
let him
see
that I focus on the cross, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, God. I worship you, my God. I worship you, my God. For you are good this morning, my God.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy, holy God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
All right, everyone. I'm going to share a story about Shaquilla Beebe. I smiled to myself and I took a pan out of the oven. Yesterday, my husband and I attended the small Presbyterian church near our home. the message we had been, the message has been such an encouragement to me that I decided to go to the Monday afternoon Bible study, and I made bread for the occasion. Setting the bread on the counter, I took a deep breath, savoring the aroma of the hot loaf. I thought to myself, if the bread tasted half as good as it smelled, then the others at the Bible study would certainly enjoy it. As I wrapped the loaf in a clean cloth, I heard people shouting and the repeated sound of wood hitting another object. The local boys would often use bamboo rods to play cricket, and the game would could get quite competitive, so at first I thought nothing of it. Stepping out the front door, I squinted in the bright sunlight and looked around to see where the boys were playing. However, what I saw did not look like cricket games. As my eyes adjusted to the light, I realized that there was a group of men with guns and clubs moving towards the church. Realizing where the men were headed and what they intended to do, I dropped the bread and started to sprint towards the church. Someone had to warn the believers inside. When the group of men saw me running towards the church, they quickened their pace and began hurling insults at me. Hearing the commotion outside, some of the Christians in the church stepped outside. That was when the first gunshot was fired upwards at the cross at the top of the church and came crashing down. In panic, I realized that I would not make it inside of the church before the mob reached me, and I froze. For a brief second, the world around me also seemed to freeze. To my left, I saw looks of pure hatred on the faces of the men approaching me, their weapons raised in malice. The faces of the Christians behind me were painted with shock and fear. A blow to my shoulder brought me back to the present. I fell to the ground and a second bamboo club slammed me into my back. Rolling over, I tried to put up my hand to shield my face, but the next blow hit my arm so hard that I heard a cracking sound and an immeasurable amount of pain came shooting up my arm. I was at the mercy of the man standing over me. But no mercy was extended. Over and over, the man beat my head and my face. With each blow, the world became darker. Each time the bamboo hit me, the pain became greater. The taste of blood filled my mouth. Stars exploded before my eyes, and screams echoed in my ears. Then in a moment, it all stopped. An hour later, a man knelt on the ground next to a body. With gentle hands, he wrapped the lifeless form of his wife in a clean cloth and quietly carried her away, tears streaming down his face. Please let us all remember Shaquila Bibi, a brave Christian martyr, and her family in our prayers.
Father, I lift up our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, people like Shaquila Bibi, Father, who tried to warn the church, but it was too late. It was beaten brutally, and Lord, others that are being persecuted like that day in and day out simply because they love you, Jesus. Father, that the kidnappings and the rapes and the brutal beatings and the destroying of churches and homes and lives, Father, would stop in Pakistan. Father, strengthen your body of believers there. Strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. May you, Christ, be exalted in that place. Be exalted in Pakistan.
The mob threatened us, saying that India belongs to Hindus. Christians do not belong here.
They make a slogan, Christians have to move from this village, otherwise we will kill.
They warned us that if we rebuild the churches, they would kill us. They would break our body into pieces, just like they broke our church into pieces.
God, I thank you for India. A place is close and dear to my heart. Because Father, you have sent me there to witness this firsthand. And I pray, God, that you would give the people who have been martyred for you peace, joy. Those people, God, who are losing their children and their own lives day in and day out. And God, those who stand firm for you as the center of their joy, Give them joy unspeakable and full of your glory. Let them continue to worship and adore you. Because without you, Father, they don't exist. Let them spread the word. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you, God, for your joy. We thank you for giving us salvation and full of your glory. I ask, Father, that you would reach deep down inside and every day. God, you didn't say this journey would be easy. But God, I pray for those people who are martyring and who are killing the Christians as well. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. As the words that were spoken on the cross. We pray, God, that you would open up the eyes of their understanding so that they may be enlightened and so they would come forth and be able to worship you and win souls to Christ, as this is what you've commanded us to do. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you would give them a daily walk, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. And God, the cross before us, the world behind us, no turning back. No turning back. God, I pray that you and you alone will be the center and the joy.
Yeah.
And that you and you alone, God, will give them joy and peace and understanding of your word so they may come to worship the truth and the only living God, Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, amen.
I want to share with you the tragic story of a beautiful woman. Her name is Sutasi Selong. She was attacked along with many other people in her village by the jihad warriors. And as Sutasi saw the jihad warriors coming and being accompanied by the military, she cried out and she said, "Lord, help me." And then one of the soldiers came up and put a pistol in her mouth and said to her, "I'll show you how God helps you." And he then shot her through the mouth and blew out the side of her face.
I would like to pray for those countries, but something inside of me, Father, is full of shame, Father. Because I'm repenting, Father. I have it so good in this country of ours. I cannot feel the pain what they are feeling, Father, but I'm so full of shame to see those people who are really heroes, Father. They are a true example for us how a church could be, how a belief must be. But I would like to pray for those, Father, who have been persecuted, Father. Please, will you let your hand on those people, on those hearts, on those families, Father. Also in Indonesia, Father, where there are so much hatred, Father, against religions, Father. Please, Father, let your spirit rule the place, Father. Send angels over there, Father. Let healing become, Father. Let something in the people, Father, let them feel something in their heart to make a difference in this world, Father. Jesus, thank you so much. We love you so much. Forgive us, Father, that we often think so easy of it, Father. Thank you so much.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, for we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Lord, thank you that you can use our prayers to move mountains. Our prayers can raise the dead, can heal the sick, and they can also intercede for the members of our body that are hurting and aching in so many places. Thank you today for the privilege we have of just reaching out in prayer, because prayer, they can feel. They can feel our prayers, God. Continue to release those that are in prison and to strengthen those that are caught in the middle. Lord God, touch them. Encourage in Jesus' name.